With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Great form by you hitting play on this podcast. Now, check out Same Racer, the brand new racing app for same race multi-tips. Same Racer. Download from the App Store and Google Play. Powered by BlueBet.
Gamble responsibly. Call 1-800-858-858.
G'day everybody, welcome to the Carlton Show, episode number one for 2020. Thanks for all the people who have been wondering where we are and where we've been and when we're going to be coming back. It's nice to be here. Nice to see you, Paul Barbazza.
G'day Andy, Gex. Great to be back after a long, indifferent summer.
Gekman, good to see you.
Andy Baz, great to be back.
We are back. So a lot's happened since we were last here. We're a week away from the start of the season. Whether we're going to be allowed through the doors or not at the MCG next Thursday night's going to be determined in the next 7 days, I would have thought. But we're recording this on the Thursday before the first round. We've seen the Marsh series. We've seen the girls play their first five. There's been some pretty seismic changes at the footy club between the end of last season and the start of this one. So there's no real order as to how we're going to approach this today. So let me kick it off. Let's start with what we know, what we've seen in 5 weeks. Let's start with the girls. They deserve to be front and centre, I reckon.
Well, yeah, absolutely. First of all, how's your calf?
Good. Calf's fine. I've been back for 2 weeks now, so right. Too many people have been talking about that stupid calf. So
that's all right.
We don't need to talk about that anymore.
No, I'm happy not to talk about it, but people wanted to ask. So how is the calf, all right?
Oh, no, you've thrown a whole lot of questions out. Have you got notes? Because I saw you...
Yeah, sort of. Okay. But I've got the phone there, so good.
Just put the mic down. We're doing this. If it sounds a bit different...
Put the mic down where?
No. If you need to get to your phone, just put the mic down. If it sounds a bit different, we're recording this in my study.
Andy, I'm ambidextrous. I can do things with both hands.
Well, that's not what Jude said. if it sounds a bit different, it's because we're in my study. We're not doing it at the studio anymore. If you hear some rattling noise in the background, that's either the Hurstbridge line or the...
That's the 744 to Epping.
I don't know. Is it Epping out there?
No, I don't know.
I don't know.
Could be the curry I had tonight too.
Could be too. It could be. So the girls. What have you been seeing, watching them?
Look, I thought the first game against Richmond was an average game of footy. I thought it was really a poor standard. And I think you alluded to the fact, Andy, that was probably more Richmond trying to shut us down in the middle and put numbers behind the ball, which I almost fell asleep through that game. Mm. I'm glad we got the 4 points, mind you. The Collingwood game concerned me. I thought that Collingwood hadn't really... it was more so that Collingwood had developed players. And I asked you on the day, had they added to their list dramatically? And you said, no, I think it's just development, which then concerned me that our girls at that stage on that particular game...
That's the train, by the way, just in case you can hear that.
In that particular game, they let themselves down a fair bit in that game. And a few...
Yeah, they played poorly.
A few of our top-notch players... really let themselves down in that game. Yeah. Since then, well, I don't know if the coaching had much to do with it. I know in one particular game they certainly executed a plan against Adelaide and everyone bought into it. But since then, they have not... it's just been action station since. It's just everyone's bought in. It's been a... And I know when this team... When everyone buys in and it's a collective, they are a very, very hard unit to beat. I'm not saying they're the best side in the comp by any stretch, but when they all buy in and they all do their little bit, I believe they're a pretty tough unit to beat.
Well, you made it.
I noticed immediately that the skill level and the knowledge of the game with regards to not being drawn to contest and standing back, keeping a space, structuring up when they get the uncontested ball and moving the ball with fluency from one end to the other. Extreme improvement from last year, from the first bounce. I put down round one as a let's just wait and see because it was Richmond playing their first game in the comp. So obviously we were well ahead on the development side to Richmond. The Collingwood game, I was disappointed because they didn't come to play. And I think they forgot they're actually playing Collingwood. I mean, you got to hurt them. And I just thought for a start, we've got a massive advantage in the ruck. Two massive ruckmen we've got. And they got cleaned up that night.
Their ruckman has been one of the stories of the year.
And good luck to her.
Yeah, good luck to her, yeah.
But our two are probably better skilled players.
No doubt.
Anyway, I thought, okay, well, we're one all. Let's see what happens now. And the corrections they've made against the Bulldogs. The Adelaide game was phenomenal. The best game of women's football I have seen, not just a Carlton game. I just thought that had everything you would want to see in a game of football. It was massive. And the support, the level of support that our players give to each other at the contest now. So they're running in numbers and somebody isn't in there on their own and they're not trying to scrounge a stoppage because they don't have the skill level to do something when they have the ball now. It's like you can see Harf has told them things like, if you get the ball in your hands, feel for that tackle and get rid of the ball. Mm. And they get rid of the ball, but the support's there to give it. So the ball keeps moving. And their kicking's brilliant. Their kicking's so much better than last year.
Just on that, Gex, I think amazing. Their kicking really improved in that Adelaide game when they were allowed whoever come up with the idea to switch the ball, chip it around, like almost play keepings off and not go long bomb because we knew that those Adelaide interceptors play, they're sweating on that, yep. So it then therefore allowed us the opportunity to show off our skills and hit targets, which I don't think we've been doing in the past. I think they have been rushed into going the long bomb quite often for whatever reason. But since that game, I've noticed a huge difference.
I agree with you, both of your observations. I think your observations are bang on from what I know they're trying to do internally. I'm glad you mentioned Harf. I reckon he's done a super job with the coaching panel, Gex. I reckon they've been really consistent with their messaging since Daniel got there. They've obviously massaged things here or there depending on the opposition,
And he's going down to the bench at the moment?
I think he's better down there. I think the girls like having the constant eyeball-to-eyeball feedback straight away.
Only this year he's done
it? No, he did it a bit
recently?
Last year. He did a bit last year. Okay. A little bit last year. Okay. So I want to give a shout-out to, and I'm sure you'll have recognised this and anybody listening who's watched them will, and this is not a reflection on leadership from last year. Well, maybe it is, but... the two captains have been, along with their leadership group, but in particular, Kez and Loinsey, Karen Harrington and Loinsey, they've just been magnificent. Mm. They've been magnificent. The leadership group beneath them has been rock solid and absolutely first class.
It's good to hear.
It's great. I have a very limited knowledge of women's footy. And I've only seen one club for a year and a half, but I think the atmosphere amongst a women's group is really important. I'm sure it is in men's footy. You're going to be harmonious and all of that, but I think women are. I think they feed off positive energy.
Oh, no doubt.
More than blokes can deal with a slap.
I'll stick it up
him a bit. Whereas girls are different. I think they need a different type of coaching.
Some might.
Yeah, they. I'm sure. I'm not, and I don't mean to generalize, but. But I think that that atmosphere has been created to a large degree by the two captains. I think they've done a super job.
Just quickly, three players that I'd like to mention that have taken my eye is Grace Egan. Yep. Is it Grace Egan?
Yep. Georgie.
And I'm, I'm sorry if I do get the names.
No, still not. First year player.
I still haven't got the. Yep. I think she's been really good. A really good find. I think she came from the Richmond VFL team.
I can't believe that. She looks
as if she's got time every time she's got the ball.
She's a class act.
I think she is, yeah.
She's a class act.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think she is tough, Andy. And but when she's got the ball, she doesn't seem rushed.
No.
So she makes calculated
decisions.
And she
sees the play.
Yeah.
Yep. Like in the throng, she sees the next the next give.
And that can only help Prosparkis. Obviously,
absolutely.
She needs a hand, obviously. Yep. She's a superstar. Yep. Charlotte Wilson.
Unbelievable story, mate.
She's reading the game like she's been playing it for 20 years.
It's her second year.
In football.
Well, she had literally her second year. She's been playing footy for 2.5 years.
And
honestly, she won't mind me saying this. Mm. She was a million miles away this time last year.
I thought she looks like the greatest athlete in the competition on paper.
And she gives away height too, you know.
You're just thinking, can she play to what she looks like? But this year, she's just reading the game as if she's played it all her life.
High character, great kid, like such a great kid, and unbelievably coachable.
Yep.
Tell her what to do,
yep.
And she'll make a mistake.
Yeah, no,
but
fantastic.
She'll make a mistake trying to do what the coaches ask her to do.
And the other one is a real favourite of mine, because I believe, like coming from rugby, some form of rugby, I think Chloe Dalton.
Olympic gold medalist.
She's just a revelation. She's a revelation. I liken her to. Do you remember the North Melbourne fella? Used to come off the wing or halfback flank. Was he Gary Counton, Crazy Horse? Mm. Well, she's exactly the same. She just gets it and runs.
The high leg lift.
Yeah. She's just manic. Mm. She wants to, you know, run the lines. Yeah. And in no disrespect, but in women's football, that is enormous to be able to run the lines, bounce, take them on. Look, it doesn't always come off, but she's got those attributes that I see very few have, and that's that. That's a propensity to actually go. And she tucks it under her arm and she goes. She's now been released into the midfield. Again, helps Prosparkis and Grace Egan and, you know,
Katie Lyons and Sarah Hosking.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. And that's the area, Gex, you were asking for, that they had to identify and they had to clean up, and that was the midfield.
Absolutely.
The midfield was not an area. That's the area that Adelaide cleaned us up big time in the grand final, left, right and centre. So, excited about what we've got in front of us. Five games in. There's three to go.
Massive game on Saturday night.
Massive.
Huge game
Massive.
Saturday night.
Massive. This ain't over yet.
Oh, no. It's a huge game.
They cannot fall into the trap of thinking that they've got finals in their pocket because it's not there yet.
I think they're on a mission. They look like they realise they probably bluffed. They bluffed everyone to get to the grand final last year.
I
mean, the cards fell in their favour, and it wasn't their fault, but they just took what they could. But they weren't ready last year. And I think what you alluded to with the players they've added, the recruiting team down at the AFLW at Carlton have done an amazing job. I'll mention Lua Lauifi as well.
Oh,
she's like, sensational.
Where did they pull her?
How did I forget her?
Coming off a couple of knee recos. Oh, she's sensational.
She's an absolute ripper.
Unbelievable.
Like in the contest and out in space, she's got an all-round game. Mm. Like somebody, you just dropped her on the field for round one and she knew what she was doing. Yep. Like those four or five players have elevated us to at least as good as anyone in the competition, in my opinion.
Yeah, look, I'm not over the whole competition. I'll be honest with you. I don't watch a lot of other AFLW at the moment.
Fair enough.
It's just a time thing. It's a want thing. You know, I do follow the Carlton girls pretty closely. That's just me at the moment. Hopefully I'll grow into that. But just before we wind up with the ladies, I just want to mention two girls that I didn't mention their names in the Collingwood game for a reason, but I think it's probably right to mention their names as two girls who really let themselves down in that particular game. But why I'm going to bring them up is because I think they've been super since. And one's, you know, Darcy Vesio. She was pretty down in that game against Collingwood. She's a leader. We know she's got a lot more to offer. You know, if I coached her, there's not a hope in hell she'd be playing in that team because, you know, if I was the coach, there's no way no one plays from behind in my forward line.
Mm.
But to her credit, she's moved up the ground. She went out to help down back against Adelaide.
She was huge.
She's been quite good since.
Yeah.
And maybe she understood that she was pretty poor in that game against Collingwood. The other one is obviously Taylor Harris, who got absolutely obliterated in that Collingwood game and embarrassed afterwards in that interview from the Collingwood girl, which I can't remember her name, but she embarrassed her. But since then, you know, Taylor Harris has come out and absolutely shut up her critics, and I'd like to see them play Collingwood in a final, perhaps. Or probably that won't happen, but next year, and see what happens on the return. But since that particular little incident, and got a fair bit of airplay, mind you, she's another one probably hasn't put a foot wrong.
Her efforts have been enormous.
It's not about goals sometimes. She's tall, she's athletic, and she has shown, one of the things that I did notice since that particular game, is that when the ball hits the turf, she ain't useless.
Oh, second, third, fourth. She ain't useless.
Maybe her efforts were not up to scratch previously, but since that since it's been brought to her attention, boy, her efforts on the ground have been phenomenal.
Yep.
It's the evenness of their effort. Seriously, they're not carrying anyone this year. They're all doing something at some stage. It's really good to watch.
Onwards and upwards.
Righto. So we wish them well on Saturday night. Massive game against Melbourne.
It sure is.
The Marsh. You guys, I'll need to declare that I found this entire series extremely difficult to watch. Not just from a Carlton perspective. I had to watch a bit of it for work. Mm. I found the entire series limp. Across the board, I don't know what to take. Our performances were at times, variously at times, okay, and at times disappointing and a bit concerning. But the same could be said for many sides.
Yeah, it's true.
I don't know how many games you watched in the series, but there was a lot of very, very ordinary football played in this practice match series that we got televised.
I'm going to declare that I'm not a fan of exhibition games, practice games, call it what you like, in any form, any sports whatsoever. Mm. I don't like watching friendlies. I don't like watching practice games, exhibition games, call it what you like. That's just, I can't watch it.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand there's probably a need for the players to, I don't know, get the cobwebs out or whatever it may be, but to take anything out of it, positive or negative, trying to dissect those sort of games, I've spoken to people since, and I don't know what you think, Gex, but is it almost pointless dissecting those sort of games? You don't really know what the coaches are.
That's what intentions. That's what you need to know.
You need to know
exactly what
they've been.
The blueprint was going into those games. You need to know, and look, we don't know that because we're not inside. But we're on the outside, and we're fans, and we barrack, and we're entitled to form whatever opinions we want. But unless you really know what they're trying to get out of the game, the hit out, the practice session, whatever you want to call it, it's very hard to...
I think so.
Having said that, I think we walk out of the series with... obviously, now we gear up for round one. There's clearly a couple of concerns from a 22 perspective that aren't going to be resolved by the time we get to Richmond. I think we know that.
Did you want to... You don't feel like dissecting the game, do you, Gex?
I look at this from a broader perspective because I'm basically... My starting point is that Carlton has been a very poorly performed side for a long time. That's evidence-based. You cannot argue against that, right?
No debate.
And our deficiencies have been quite clear as well for a long period of time. We've been poorly skilled. We don't have enough acumen and ability to play on a larger scale to what some of the better teams can do. Whenever we've tried to lift our game up, we tend to fail. We tend to turn the ball over, whatever.
Agreed.
So I'm looking at everything from this year as an evidence-based thing. So I will look at... I'll obviously what you say, you know, they're not all trying anywhere near to the level they're going to play round one, or some might be because they're fighting for their positions. Others might be playing it safe to not get injured. Some might be playing small percentage of time in actual, what they're actually meant to do on game day, giving someone else a chance to take those opportunities. So there are a lot of permutations. But what I look for is the skill and the acumen. I'm looking for... I've heard Teague in the off-season talk about we're training for the fundamental skills. We're going back to the fundamentals. We're going to just drill on fundamentals. We are going to do game simulation over and over again. I'm going to put players into situations and let them work out what to do out in the field. So I'm looking for gameplay with guys that I have question marks on, and I'm going to see how they're carrying themselves out on the ground. If there's been any change up until this point, you know, are they doing things better than they were last year, whatever. They're the little things that I've looked for. I'm not really looking at overall performance, but just the nuances in between.
Look, the flip side to all of this is probably because we got belted by 7 or 8 goals in both games, for argument's sakes, people might say, well, it's easy to dismiss the Marsh series because you got belted. What if you had a 1 by 8 goals in both games? Maybe you'd be talking it up a bit. Maybe. And some would say, well, Frio and Brisbane, they took it up a notch and wiped us off the table pretty easily. Why didn't they lie down in the last quarter and make it a nil all draw in the last? Why didn't Frio turn it up and...
All of that.
What gives Carlton the right...
No, nothing at all. No, nothing.
...to turn their toes up?
No, nothing. And
in any game that they play?
No, nothing at all.
So... The flip side is that there might be a little bit of angst out there that we didn't finish off those games, and why aren't we? Why didn't we?
Well, people will say because we played 22 plus the extra in the last quarter. So 23.
Yep.
This 22 and a half players played v 26 or 27 in the Brisbane game.
Yep.
The Brisbane team was pretty close to full strength. Apparently. They were not far off full strength.
No.
We had heaps out. So, and I reckon we had 6 or 7 fair dinkum just going. Seriously just going. From a wound up perspective. Having said that, I'm not saying everything's sweet.
No.
Don't worry.
We don't
top
know.
8 here we can't. We're not saying that at all. What I don't disagree with you on, Gex, and would add to is that given the fact that we have been poor for such a long time, it's very easy for teams in any sport who have been bad for a long time to slump back into, we are shit ass. We're shit ass.
No, we are no good. No, we've got skeletons in the closet, mate.
The negative mindset is there. It doesn't need much for that to be, you know, brought to the surface. And so we can't, once we get into the real stuff, we can't dish up anything other than lock into 100% all the time.
Absolutely.
We have to give ultimate. And if we've got blokes who don't, I don't care what their names are, if we've got blokes who don't, then they don't play.
Sure, absolutely, mate. I over the summer, a lot of people have asked me, what am I expecting this year? And if you want a number, the number out there is somewhere around 9-10 games of winning games of football, right? If that's going to please people out there, that's what I'm saying. It's 10 wins, you beaut, great. But that's what I'm most nervous about, because that's what I think we're capable of if everything goes well.
We're on the back foot.
I'm very apprehensive, very nervous.
We're on the back foot. We're on a significant back foot early.
Absolutely. No Mackay and Charlie for starters.
That's
massive.
They've had Harry's done a lot of training, but he can't step it up to full go mode.
And that's groin.
He's been training, but he can't get into the next gear. He can't get into game gear, right? Charlie, who knows? Get ready for the chance that he doesn't play this year.
I'm very
There's
ready for
that.
There's
a real chance he doesn't play any
footy
this year.
I'm very ready for that.
The story's about that knee and the apparatus inside it that's holding it together.
They don't even know when they take it off what they're going to see.
It's some of the stories you hear are hellish.
Right. So that's that. And then you've got...
So if you haven't got Curnow and Mackay...
Yep.
She looks...
And you've got Mitch McGovern looks behind the eight ball.
McGovern and Casbolt, pretty much. That's
but he looks behind the eight ball, McGovern. Hmm. Has he been injured over the summer? Well, how come he's only just had a half?
He had a setback a couple of weeks.
Yeah, he only just had a half.
Don't against, know what happened there.
That's his first half of footy.
Yeah, true.
And then didn't play the second half against Brisbane on the weekend.
Did he have the back? Was the back a bit of an issue early or not?
There was a setback just after Christmas, I think, but I can't remember what it was.
So you've got a scenario where your three pillars were all there at one stage and you're not going to have them.
Hmm.
So where do your goals come from? People are asking me, where are your goals going to come from? Well, I'm not sure goals are going to come left, right and centre for us. I think it's more about probably having to defend pretty stoutly in the first few weeks until perhaps we get a Harry in, or I don't know if they'll roll the dice with, I don't know if they would play a Tom DeConin. I've got no idea.
Well, they've added Callum Moore gets the last spot on the list. Now he's a one position player.
Mm.
So, no, I'm not saying he's playing round one. Don't get me wrong.
I've got no idea what they're going to come up with.
But the reason he gets the nod is needs based. Completely needs based.
Absolutely.
So don't be surprised if early in the year, because we haven't got any tall forwards, don't be surprised if he plays. He might. They've looked at their list and they have gone, I'm sure they've looked at their list and gone, Jesus, we are very, very wafer thin when it comes to tall forwards, like most teams in the competition. There aren't many in the comp, by the way, so this is not just a problem for us. But we're light on.
The other side of the attacking part of that coin is the fact that we based a lot of our play on that lead up down the line stuff with those blokes last year. Mackay was clunking contested marks up and down the ground all
Charlie does the same.
Yeah, it's going to be McGovern and Jack, and they're the ones.
Jack was playing that role, I don't think that's sustainable with his body. I mean, he's going to get smashed if he does that every week.
And then you've got the other end too. You've got Marchbank, who can't take a trick. Any word on the knee?
Tests.
Still running tests.
Tests.
I could be playing round one.
So the three. I haven't seen anything in the last couple of days, but the last injury report I saw was Marchbank, Samo and Plowman were all tests. So they won't have, obviously. I mean, no Charlie, no Mackay, the kids. He won't play this year, Kemp. So forget about him. But the other three were tests. So
you got some massive decisions for round one because there's a lot of underdone players. How many do you go with?
The only thing I'll say about the underdone players thing is I think most of their loading will have been done behind closed doors. I'm not looking at the Marsh series as he's ready to go. I reckon they've timed their preseason in a vastly different manner this year. And one of the reasons I say that is I spoke to a bloke who knows the umpiring department pretty well, and one of the umpires, a couple of the umpires have been around doing the intra-clubs all around Australia, and he said there is no doubt that the most wound-up club and the most physical club that I've seen in the intra-clubs is Carlton. They are smashing in. They're hammering one another. And they're at each other, they're aggressive, he said, noticeably more wound up than any other club in the country. Now, we didn't see that at all in the Marsh.
Okay.
There was no evidence of all of that.
Well, that's a good point.
There was no evidence. I didn't see any real evidence of that in the Marsh.
So that got...
No Crips in the first game.
So that looked like it got pulled back a little
bit.
Well,
that's what I'm saying. I'm just saying, you're right, we're underdone in terms of a couple of key players who are unavailable in the first week.
Mm.
But I still think the 22 that go out there they'll be pretty hard. I haven't seen much of their preseason.
That freshens me up a little bit.
Yeah, so we're playing the best side in the comp who have got no injury concerns.
The one constant that we did have once Teague became coach was their evenness of effort. Their intensity increased.
There's no reason to believe that'll disappear.
I would be flabbergasted if they don't come out with that attitude. Mm. Whether they can sustain it is the question we're going to be asking because of what we've seen in the last few weeks. That's all.
We've got to like what we've seen from. If you're looking for points of difference, we're all reasonably confident that, based on the very small evidence and sample size so far, that Jack Martin's going to be a player. We're all.
I do like what I've seen. Hopefully, he's a four-quarter player though, and he can sort of gather possessions.
I think he will. I don't think we've got the luxury of sitting him up forward. No, I think he's going to have to push in. Yeah.
He looks prepared to do that.
I mean, we need to increase our 20-plus possession players.
Oh, exactly. That's something I posed probably about a month ago on Twitter. I basically said, you know, we've got Cripps, Murph and Ed, who constantly get their 25-plus, those three. The next level, obviously Walsh is another one now that he's a constant. But what's going to be the next mix, good mix, and who's going to step up this year and announce themselves to the competition? Do you guys have any names that confidently you would put there?
No, I'm more hopeful than confident.
Okay, and you, and Gex, you hopeful, confident?
I've got a sneaky feeling, and I was on his back big time last year, but I think Fisher. They might have finally worked out what I've been barking on about for 2 years, that he's not an inside midfielder.
Well, certainly not an inside midfielder. That's a given.
I did notice part of the nuance I was looking at was seeing how they used him. Now, he was fairly quiet in some of the quarters he played, but I did notice that he was setting up outside of stoppage.
Yeah.
And I think a big part of what Teague wants to do is try and increase our transition play by having guys like Fisher and Setterfield and the like running past more often for handball and linking up play so that it becomes more fluent. And I think that's going to be Fisher's role.
So he's a player you could see getting the mid-20s?
I'm hopeful. I know he can accumulate possession. He has done it in the past, but I just think he's been played out of position for too long.
I'm reasonably confident that Setterfield will be that type of player.
I'm very hopeful.
That's the one I'm... if someone was to ask me confidence levels, he's the one. The one I'm really hopeful for and the one that shows an enormous amount of potential, but he's so close to destroying some games, is Paddy Dow.
His first half against Brisbane was... I thought he was magnificent.
He was getting there.
He was in our best.
And his kicking did look better.
He looked composed.
Looked a little bit better. Yeah. And there were times where he just got caught. He's one of those that over the course of the last 2 years, he's been within a split second of really completing some really good passages of play that it just doesn't, at the moment, it's not falling for him. I think he's a really hard worker. You can see him working hard.
I think he's a good kid.
I can see him working hard.
Sometimes it's just one game and you break out.
Exactly.
It could very well be his year.
The other thing about... look. I haven't done games in ages, but you know we can do this. Probably, I'm sure we'll do it at some stage. But we've got to stay patient.
We
are impatient.
Yeah, I know.
We're
in a hurry. I'm in a hurry now.
And we've got a lot of games into pretty young blokes quickly.
Yeah, we did.
But they're still young. These guys we're talking about, Fisher, Setterfield.
They're all still young.
Buddy Dow. All these blokes we're talking about,
21,
they're still young.
Yeah,
they have played a lot of footy because we've been terrible and we've wanted to pour football. And, you know, maybe guys like Fisher Gex have been put into places to hopefully sort of accelerate their development, even though that's not where they're going to be their best players down the track. Who knows? But whether there's been a 4 or 5 year strategy with some of these blokes, but, you know, they're still in their early 20s, a lot of these guys. Mm. And that's still, you're still finding your feet a bit at the level.
Yeah.
It's getting closer now where they need to start really taking games by the scruff of the neck.
Absolutely.
But, you know, and we'd like it to happen sooner rather than later. But this is just a broad sweep on the collective. I reckon I've got another year. I know, we might have said this last year, but I've got another year up my sleeve of just let them keep finding their way. You know, I don't need them to play finals footy in 20. I'd love it. I'd love us to be in the mix with 5 rounds to go. No. That's what I'd like.
In a perfect world, with a month to go, I'd love to see them start August with 7 or 8 wins.
You're in the mix. They're a chance. They're a sneaky chance.
And if you win your last 4, you're a chance.
Yep.
You know, is that going to happen? I don't know. I can't turn the clock forward. But I guess... it was more so the question of midfield mix what's the right mix when it's not those three?
That's the biggest concern.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, it's a good question.
And I guess you probably can't afford to have all of those three, like two on the pine, one up sitting up forward, and the next mix being, say, Walsh, Dow, Setterfield as a starting lineup in the guts against Presti, Kotchin.
We won't win a stoppage with those three.
Well, I'm just.
This is the problem.
What I'm saying is you'll always have to have two of those elder statesmen plus one, or one of them plus the two. I don't think you can have three youngsters in there ever.
It's even more than that because...
I don't think.
I said there was a paradox last year with our midfield starting lineup.
Have you learnt what a paradox is yet? Or not?
And it
last year we had no idea.
It still exists. Oh. Like, our strength is also our weakness. And Cripps, unfortunately, being as good as he is, demands to play as the alpha male in that centre situation. But the problem is, A, he's going to have games like last year where he's tagged out of the game. B, he's going to have games where he's probably going to be injured for a few weeks.
Well, that's why I'm asking for plan B.
C, he simply can't play four quarters there and not come off the ground for a rest. So
who's going to step up and announce themselves to the competition?
The question remains...
That's what I want to...
Why haven't we created another player?
Well,
because...
Okay.
And I know who, in my mind, it should be. Yep. Why haven't we created another player...
Who should have been your mind?
...who is most suited to being the Cripps role? First touch, give it out.
Who do you reckon that should be?
I think it has to be Gibbons. I think it is... He's already played moments in the Marsh Cup series around stoppage. He wins the ball every second time he's there.
He could have his turn going through. He didn't have as
but
much
they,
time.
But they didn't do it at all last year.
No. It's asking a lot from a bloke who's played VFL.
Just go with me here. If you don't take Gibbons, as I'm suggesting, tell me who the next guy who's going to do what Cripps does.
I think he can be part of the rotation. No problems.
He's saying take Cripps' role.
Who else?
What, if it's not...
If Cripps isn't there, and I think Gibbons is the next, who else can do it?
Well, Murphy and Curnow.
Murphy's not the class under Curnow's tap guy.
Curnow can do that.
Curnow's probably the next obvious one, but he's going to be more untidy with whatever he does with it.
All those young blokes that we've talked about, and you throw in Stocker and a couple of kids we picked up in the draft last year, we need... They eventually need to be... One or two of those blokes needs to be able to develop into that type of player. Or we need to bring that bloke in from somewhere else.
But you're right, it's
a fair concern. The one thing about Cripps, in the interim, while Harry and Charlie are out of the side, I've got no problems with chucking Cripps forward more often than not. Like, he's a beast. He's a 6'4" target. He's as good as anyone else we've got on our list. To be,
we've never been able to do it.
Well, maybe we just have to, mate.
I agree.
Yeah. If you can get the ball down there, yeah, it'd be good.
I'm just hoping that these match sims and these scenarios that Teague was talking about included what I was talking about before.
I'm sure they do.
There's going to be a time where it has to happen.
Yeah.
Look, Steve Silvani.
Let's not get worried about it until it doesn't happen.
Yeah. The Steve Silvani thing, right? He's obviously, everyone knows he's now left or whatever the scenario was, he's now left the club.
Good to see him at the footy the other day.
Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely.
It's good.
Yeah, I'm sure he's still going to go. As good as the list is or is better than when he first walked in, he wasn't able to clinch any deals in the 4 years that he was there about... Like a bona fide midfielder that we're requiring.
A Sheil or a, you know, none of those guys.
Cornelio and what have you, right? We've always missed out on that type of player,
whether
it be money, whether it be terms, whether it be the fact that Carlton's still not an attractive club to go to, whatever it may be. That was the one constant over the 4 years that we weren't able to attract a 25-year-old, 26-year-old, ready to step in and help Cripps and the like.
Mm.
You know, Had he have clinched it with Canelio and Papley, well, boy, I'd be a lot more buoyant about what's going to happen this year.
Who's the pinch hit? Cruiser starts round one. Who's his chop? Is it going to be Levi? Does Levi play and get in the top out?
It's either going to be Levi, or if they do play DeConin, well, DeConin, I reckon DeConin's a better ruck than Levi.
I'd roll the dice with the kid. I would too. I'd take a punt on him in round one.
Well, I reckon they might. They may well.
I mean, he's clearly got upside. He's still green. But they won't know much about him. I could see DeConin kicking a couple.
I saw him against Richmond's reserves last year. Mm. It was a practice game at Punt Road before we played our first game against Richmond that day. He kicked three goals in the first quarter and a half, climbed all over him, was taking specky after specky.
Was that the game Punt Road?
Yeah. Correct. Yep. The game that he actually hurt his knee. Yep. Yep. Right? We didn't see him till about round 15 afterwards. But in that game there, our ruck coach, is it Hamish?
McIntosh.
North Melbourne.
McIntosh, yep. Went straight up to him at quarter time, and he was beaming. Just went up to him, just patted him, and just said, mate, that was like unbelievable.
Yep.
Right? And that day there, I saw a bloke unfold in front of my eyes, unfortunately injured his knee in the same game, and he was tearing them apart. Richmond's a quality side,
for sure,
in the reserves. They're quality.
Made the grand final.
Yep, they are quality, and he was just running amok in the ruck and up forward.
Well, I guarantee you, he won't be frightened.
No, he's not that sort of kid.
He loves it, I reckon.
He's not that sort of kid.
No, but a couple of things that he did in... you didn't see the Brisbane game, but a couple of things he did in the Brisbane game when he came on in the second half.
Marsh Cup game?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Did you see the
Brisbane? Yeah.
I thought he was contesting. Yeah, I thought he was really right consistently. He wasn't just once or twice.
He was. I think he was clearly in the second half. He was the one positive.
Look, you know what?
Yeah. He was just the only positive.
He kept going, didn't he?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
I think our ruck stocks are fine. Even pitting it, I reckon he goes all right. Tap ruckman.
If it falls to him at some stage this year,
wouldn't bother.
He'll whack away. He's competitive. He's not blue chip, but he's competitive.
Well, I know for a fact that Clarkson came back from America. Yeah. To try and keep him at Hawthorn.
Oh, no, he's...
So that's got to tell you something.
He is a very capable player.
Yeah. I like his tap work.
Yep, yep.
If you're looking for a tap ruckman... So that's probably one of Cruiser's... Is Cruiser a great tap ruckman? He's just a ruck rover.
I was thinking about you in the Fremantle game. Geck, man, when I saw him kick two or three balls off the ground, I thought, oh, jeez, I can hear Gecko.
And he keeps kicking... Look... Who am I to tell Cruz how to play football?
No.
But I just wish if Cruz went for a handball rather than a kick sometimes, because he's so tall, put your hands up and get a handball there.
It's up to his teammates.
Which gets smothered time and time and time again. I reckon he gets five balls smothered a game.
Yeah.
But who am I to talk? You know, who am I to tell Cruz how to play?
Teammates have got to work around strengths and weaknesses. They've got to know each other.
I've said that a million times. And until we get that continuity, cohesion, all the buzzwords, like Richmond has in the last 3 or 4 years, they were together for about 7 or 8 years, Andy.
Yeah, it was no overnight success.
No, not at all. No. Not at all. And they got rid of all their assistant coaches. They didn't get rid of their main coach, but they got rid of all their assistants, or some of them, kept their main coach. The players that they got to their side in that journey was blokes like Hooley and
Grieg.
Prestia, the guy from Geelong up the forward line.
Oh, Caddy, yeah, the Caddy.
Caddy, the ruckman, Nankervis. None of these blokes, you know, other sides would be saying, they've gone and got these blokes. Who gives a shit, you know? But what happens is that they all play a part. They all understand and buy in, like our girls have bought in at the moment, but our blokes have to buy in to what the coach wants.
Yeah, just play to your strengths.
And if you do,
that's what Teague's been
you
saying
can see what Richmond's done, but the trouble with our side is we've had... Boys, you can't dismiss the fact that we've let go 60 players in 4 seasons. It's a hell of a lot. It's how do you get that trust with each other when you don't even know if you're going to be playing with this bloke?
No, it's a really... It's a all, look, there's a lot of people sick of it. They don't want to hear it anymore.
Sure. I'm probably sick of it, but it remains. Hearing myself talk
as every year. I think up until maybe the start of 2019, it was a completely justifiable reason for a lack of success, right? Last year, we start to get a bit of familiarity into the group. This year, we'll get a bit more. I reckon at the end of this, I reckon all bets are off at the end of 2020. I think one stage last year or maybe 2 years ago, we might have said 2020 was the year that I think we all said that. You know, so I think it's just a hard competition. It's a hard ladder to climb.
Bloody
it's a really tough ladder to climb. You need a lot to go right, and we're at a time now where if the things don't go right for us, you know, in the next 12 months, well, Jesus, she could be pretty grim. But I think we've given, with some key appointments, we've got to hope the coach is right. You know, we hope Teague's right. I like him.
I think he's a good match day coach. I think he sees the game, like, he really sees the game very well. I think he's got him training pretty well. So I'm not too worried about him. But we've got a lot of assistants that have been there for a while.
That's a fair call, I reckon.
That will want to make sure that their linebackers are improving.
Mm. Yeah, that's a fair call.
The outs. We shouldn't have kept any of these guys. Andrew Phillips went to Essendon. Lobe, Fasolo, and Thomas all retired. LeBoyce, Kerr, Shoemaker, DeLuca, Pickett, or Bug all delisted. No real issues there.
I've got.
No. Yep. No. The players that came in, Eddie Betts, Jack Nunes, Jack Martin, and Mark Pidnett. Now, those four players coming in, we gave up bugger all for them.
No, nothing.
Pretty much nothing. Brody Kemp, Sam Filt, who I like. Sam Ramsey, they're all on the list. And then you've got Josh Honey, Fraser Phillips, and now Callum Moore, I presume, is a rookie? Or will he be on the list?
It was the last list spot, wasn't it? Did he get the last list spot? Or must be a rookie. Right. Must be, yeah.
So, nothing outstanding there. No. Perhaps Jack Martin is.
He and Eddie are the two that potentially can really
make us change a different unit. Yeah,
I think so. You know, Betts. We all know who Eddie is, and I think Eddie's looking at life beyond football as much as he is at what he can, you know, do in the next season or two. But I think he's a proud man. And I think he's got a lot to prove, and I think he's got a point to make, and I think he's been pissed off by further commentary out of the cesspit, which is Triple M in Adelaide.
Yeah, they're rubbish.
The stuff that Jarman and Bernie Vince should be embarrassed.
I can't believe what he said.
That he got sucked into.
The most rubbish. Disrespectful thing I've ever heard in my life, what he said.
Well, not only to Eddie Betts, Gex, because if Andrew Jarman's has tapped into the Adelaide Crows, as he should be, and I know that he is, he knows what happened on that camp. And for him to say, he's sooking it up because he got dropped and it had nothing to do with the camp, and that he was actually happy on the camp, they are just that's not the truth.
It's nonsense, mate.
It's not the truth.
No.
So we know who Eddie is. If Eddie kicks 30 plus this year and next year, it's a great result. Yeah, better than anything.
The best goal kick last year was 26. McKay.
Spot on.
So no issues there. People are saying, he might keep someone out. Who's he going to keep out?
Who
the fuck's he keeping out?
Whoever says that, just ask him that question.
Mm.
Who?
Nah.
It's ridiculous to think that.
Even if he kicks 10 as a small forward, we don't have a small forward kicking 10.
That's just stupidity, mate.
It's a pretty small bloody hill to climb, that one.
So Sean Burgoyne's keeping someone out at Hawthorn, is he?
Yeah.
No, it's just a joke, mate. Like, it's just stupid.
I think you stand a bit taller when you run out in the ground with Eddie Betts.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he's actually going to bring. I think he's going to hopefully make that forward line function a little better. Just with his.
Oh, it'll be different. It'll be a different dynamic.
He's a leader up forward. We don't really have a leader up forward, do we? No, not really. We know now the Ploughman is the leader down back, apparently. Third in the best and fairest. It shocked me.
I didn't see that.
It shocked me. I didn't see it coming. It shocked me. Yeah, it shocked me. But I didn't see it coming, man. I'm very 50-50 with this bloke. Very 50-50. I do see him, you know, unfortunately, he's that height where he plays against blokes who are bigger than him at times.
Yeah.
And he plays against blokes who are smaller than
the
him.
The one thing, the Ploughman, and I thought about him, you know, you'd think about him in your idle moments, but Ploughman is the one that often gets the lockdown one-on-one against the most dangerous mid-small, you know, forward from the opposition. So if that bloke ever gets off the chain, he's got Ploughman again. Ploughman again.
Yeah.
Whereas
so he's
blokes,
the sacrificial
of course he is, mate. There are defenders all over the joint who are getting goals kicked on it, but you never know who they're playing on, so they get away with it, you know?
That's true. Yeah. And, actually I heard someone saying that Poulsen got 3 goals kicked on him late in the term by Martin. Well, that's bullshit because Ploughman went down. There was only 4 minutes to go in the game against Brisbane and he might have kicked one on Poulsen, but all of a sudden, then they were just slamming Poulsen as well.
He's a whipping boy.
Are you serious?
I actually thought Poulsen was all right against Fremantle.
Yeah.
I didn't think he was. I know
someone told me that Luke Power is quite buoyant about him running off halfback. Well, I don't quite see it.
Well, he's got a year. I don't know, what's he got? He might have a year left
probably
on his contract.
Got a year. Yeah, probably.
He's got a year to. This is his chance. He's not going to make it as a midfielder. He's not going to make it as a small forward.
No.
This is his chance.
Yep.
Small defender, rebounding back pocket, can take a small forward. You got a chance, you know. So
I had time for Poulsen a couple of years ago. He had a shocking year last year.
Yeah.
Did he have excuses?
The
day against North Melbourne, he played on Andrew Swallow.
He did. And locked him down. And played. I actually spoke about that the other day to someone from the Northern Blues. And I said to him about that day, and he said, I forgot about that, as a run-with role.
Yeah.
When he first came, his first 2 games, admittedly, I think they were practice games for the Northern Blues, against good opposition, Port, Melbourne, and might have been Willy, he had 28 touches in the middle, both games. Yeah. But I think he got injured that first year.
He had a shoulder. He turned up with a shoulder.
Yeah.
He didn't play in the first year. I don't think he played at all in his first year.
Players at Carlton, a couple of them, who they didn't even know who I was, I knew who they were, I just said, who can you tell me that might be someone to look at?
Yep.
Cam Poulsen. 3 of them told me.
Yeah, right, can. Yep.
But hasn't, for whatever reason, shown it.
Well.
But often, anyway, who knows? Coaches that came in this year... Henry Playfair is now the head of coach or advisory role or something or other, Henry Playfair?
Yep. Came out of Sydney, so he comes out of a good system. He knows a good organisation.
Lukey Power is now the head of development, which, Gex, you've been banging on about. He comes with pretty good recommendations.
Oh, no, he comes out of good... You know, had been time at the AFL, comes. You know, we know where he's come from. And they're both high-quality...
Right.
Playfair and Luke are both high quality people.
But over the course of the time that we've been doing this, we've been asking them to
invest in that area.
Which they now have. Daniel O'Keefe, development coach, midfield.
Yeah, don't know much about him.
No, neither do I. Now we've got Nick Austin as the new list manager.
The Western Bulldogs were filthy to lose him.
Really?
Filthy to lose him.
So, good pick-up.
Oh, yeah. He's got the right name, and he's come out of very good programs at Richmond and the Western Bulldogs. So,
Diesel Williams still there in skills. Out was Shane Watson. They got rid of Shane Watson.
And
Tim Clark.
Mm.
So again, they're sort of moving the chess pieces around a little bit in that area.
VFL teams. Lost a bit of talent at the top end. You know, they've lost a couple of their front liners, have taken offers elsewhere.
That's Palmer, Anderson,
Fisher.
They lost those three. Josh Hill went. Stavro's gone.
So they signed Lucas Webb, was announced today. He didn't get one of the spots on the primary list, but has been signed, picked up by the Northern Blues.
Has he? And Kunico.
Yeah. Right. So Lucas Webb, I've spoken to Bob. Most people know I work with Bob Murphy. He's a massive rat for Lucas Webb.
What's his go?
Left foot, sort of half-back wingman, slashing, thumping kick.
Nice.
But has had a lot of hamstring problems.
Yeah.
Right. So and he had a hamstring in the middle of the cut and thrust for the final spot on our list. He did another hamstring. So he's just got to get that right. But the Bulldogs know he can play, and he's played some good football at AFL level already. So
I've heard his name being bandied around.
So we'll see what he can do.
Just on players who you think really need to step up this year, or what's the word? Players who you think need to pull out a huge year to basically. What's down the list? Do you have some...
Bowl them up. Bowl up once.
Well, Cam Polson, we've already spoken about. No doubt about that.
No doubt.
Harrison McCready?
Yep.
Oh, no doubt. You're the luckiest man in the squad at the minute.
Yep.
Ben Silvani? I know it's only his second year, but it's just a little bit...
He's a big man. You can't go too early on.
No,
You'd want to see something, I reckon.
Yep.
You'd want to see something.
I thought his last few.
Yeah, no, he showed a bit. He showed a bit, but you'd just want to see a bit more. Yeah, I reckon
he's got to find his spot, too. Yeah, like, there's no guarantee he's a forward at this stage of his career.
I think you just want to see a bit. Yep.
I'll go with the easy ones. Kid Cottrell and Finbar.
Well, yep.
They're just
kids. Yep. Yep.
Just to want to see something, don't you?
Well, yeah.
Got to show something.
Absolutely, they do.
These two are interesting. I'm very eager to hear what you say about these two. Lang?
Well, he's treading water, mate.
Well, two blokes have come into the squad with better credentials to play his position for
he's
a start.
He's treading water.
All agree?
Oh, 100%. But I think he can still play. Like, he's played good football in games that we've won. He's been important in wins that we've had.
A couple of
he had excuses last year. He had big excuses.
Ankle.
He's had chronic ankle injury.
Yeah. I still think he can play, but he's got to play.
Yep.
He's another one that's got.
So he's one that
got to learn.
It's on the line this year.
He's got to learn to accumulate possession to be of any use.
Oh, I think more than that. I don't reckon he's ever going to be a massive possession getter, but he's got to hurt when he gets them.
Absolutely.
He's got to make the most of his opportunities.
And just one more that I can think of. You guys might have a couple others. Kennedy.
Yeah, I would have said him too. Yep, he's in the same boat as Lang.
Well, what is he? I mean, he's too slow to play in the midfield.
Well, he
should be the one that can.
That's
take
what I was going
to
say before. That essentially he came to the club to help Cripps.
He should be,
but he's not a. He doesn't look like a midfielder.
No,
he can't cover the ground.
No,
and again another one with ankle. So he's now become that mid-size forward. That can you play him and Jack in the same forward line, or is it one or the other? I don't know.
Well, I don't think it's unfair on any of those blokes.
Kennedy's more of a stay at home, and he can take a mark. I think Soss can cover the ground. He's got
an
engine.
Think you can play both in the same forward line?
Well, they play differently, so they can complement each other. But as I said, with Martin and Eddie Betts in the team, their positions are dwindling now.
Yeah, he can't make it. He can't make a sustainable living at AFL level playing as a stay-at-home forward. I don't reckon.
He has
not stay-at-home, but working within it.
I think he needs to get up the ground and be able to be used in the midfield if he's going to be an AFL long-term AFL prospect.
There's one fellow we haven't talked about tonight, which is on a lot of people's minds, and he gets a lot of airplay as exciting. I like him. He's going to be a player. This is his fifth year. Hasn't played a lot of football. Riddled with injury. But, mind you, doesn't
play. Who are you talking about? But he signed a three-year contract.
I know.
So he's there for 3 years. They're not torching him after signing that.
I know that.
It's a mystery. I can't believe he got... You're talking about Dave Cunningham. Okay. I can't believe he got... I'm staggered. I love him, and I'm barracking for him, and I feel like I'm going to end up with egg on my face because I've stood by this kid... in the face of stiff opposition amongst other Carlton supporters.
I'll ask you both. Do you think he is capable of becoming that 25-plus, more often than not, midfielder? I'll answer my own question for the sake of it. I don't think he will. I think he's more an impact player, outside, handy to have at a stoppage, reads it off a pack really well. He's got some really good attributes. He's got a good burst of speed, 5-10 metres or so. But will he become that type of midfielder that we're looking for? probably not. I think he's more an impact player.
Where are you at with him?
Oh, as I said at the start of the show, I'm evidence-based and I'm only going on the body of work I've seen. I can't project any future thoughts about Cunners as far as what I've seen is what I've got for the last three or 4 years. So
I'm keeping me... I've got to maintain the faith. I can't let go of him. I can't.
No, hang on a minute. I'm not letting go of him.
We're all pulling for him. In racing parlance, you're taking him on faith.
Yep. But I think some people think he's going to be that bona fide midfielder. I'm not sold on that.
No.
I don't know whether he can be that type. I can see him being used in a centre, in a starting four midfield role. I can see him being used in that role.
He's part of that.
Mate, I've seen him actually dominate that role at the Northern Blues.
Yeah, I can see him doing that at AFL level.
But not for four quarters. I haven't seen him do it.
I'd love to see him. I've never spoken to him. I don't know what he's like, but I get the feeling he doesn't have any... It sounds like it.
He's a different cat. But I also have been informed that...
Film director?
Yeah, he's a budding film director. He's studying film.
Look, he gets a knock and decides, I'm not right. I'm not right.
Oh, I didn't know that about him. Well, he's got to get tougher than that.
Well, I saw Simo on the weekend cop a knock, and it was a practice game, so... If you want to go off, you go off at a pracky game and you put ice on it and you do what you've got to do, ride the bike or whatever. Simo said, no, I'll stay on.
Corky in the hip. Just kept going.
He just said, no, I'll stay on.
Yeah.
I'm right. It's only a corky.
Yep.
Worried about him at all?
No. Where were we at the start of last year with him?
Exactly.
He is a little bit of a dilemma, Simo, in that he wants to be the guy with the ball in hand running the lines. But he's not necessarily the guy you want kicking the ball all the time because he can turn it over.
He's not alone in that regard.
I know. But I don't know.
So much of what we're capable of, I reckon, as a team, depends on our ball use. And you said this right at the start, but it was apparent. If you take anything away from the Marsh, and I've said what I've said about it, so I'm not going to take too much out of it. But some of our kicking, particularly inside forward 50, was just atrocious. Like on occasions, even blokes who had no real sort of AFL type pressure on them were still missing targets by significant margin. So just can't afford. If we have a good run where we actually use the ball crisply and use it well, then we might see.
Well, that's where I think
we've got to use the ball.
Last year we used SPS sort of wing half back, and they were.
Doherty will make a difference.
They like giving
Doherty
him the ball
makes a difference
because he does use the ball well. Doherty's another one that can use it, and he's prepared to take that risky kick.
Wiedering's a beautiful kick.
Yeah.
He's still a beautiful kick.
Yeah. We don't have leg speed out of defence, though, do we? Not
flashy. Not ping. Not like the Essendon blokes.
No,
none of that.
No,
we haven't got any
of
that.
We don't have that.
Not really. No.
Okay. Are they looking for that, do you think?
Or are they
just relying on...
Can only use what you got.
Yeah.
Can't make it.
Sorry, I'm asking a lot of questions here, folks, but I don't have a lot of answers. But I think at the end of the day, if you can use... So again, SPS is probably a bloke that he had those 37 touches against the Doggies that night, we all thought, oh, well, here we go, but then we quickly realised the Doggies let us do what we want that night, and we probably didn't see that again from him for the whole year. And then they used him more wing half-back, and I think that's probably where they're going to use him.
Yeah, I think that's
so he's not a midfielder, is he? He's a supplementary midfielder.
He's got something the others don't in that he can use the ball in a condensed, dense
situation.
No doubt.
And I think Jack Martin has similar attributes. Mm. So we have started to get some talent through the door that we hope that they can hit targets. And we know... when you got to hit him, when you don't.
Mm.
But he's one those two there in particular, does Fisher use it all right?
Well, he's not seen it enough to know.
Yeah, but he looked like...
He does try and take really difficult kicks a lot.
I thought he looked okay with the ball, kicking the ball the other night.
Oh, well, I like him. I think he's a creative player. He's always trying to do something that's positive
he
for
the
team.
He gets the wheels in
motion. I like him. He'll be...
I think he actually handballs a lot.
Zach Fisher will be a really good player. He could be a really good player in a very good team. Zach Fisher.
Well, hopefully that's our
side. That's right. I agree. You know, that's what I mean. Like, when we get better, I can see Fisher. You know, what he does will be of greater clarity and will get greater appreciation the better.
I think you'll find he'll be a link-up player this year, and that's what I've always seen him as.
Yep. No, that's exactly what he was, you know, as a kid.
Yep.
And he's never been... The in and under stuff, he should never have been asked to do that.
No, look, I think, you know, at the end of the day, when you're looking at someone like Fisher, you can see... He did bust his leg, you know.
Mm.
Didn't he fracture his
leg?
Yeah,
he did. Mm. He did.
So
yep.
You just don't... We've had... I'll say this. Jack Russell's come to the... No, that's not his name.
Andrew. Yeah, Jack.
Andrew Russell, Jack Russell. He's come to this club, and I don't know if he actually knew what he was in for, but he has walked into a club that has been absolutely decimated with injuries across the board. And, like, to the fact... Like, do you know anyone else has had an injury like Caleb Marchbank, the neck?
Oh.
He was in a neck brace for 4 months. Mm. 4 months over the summer.
Mm.
Do you know anyone else in the league that gets these injuries?
Only people who are trying to rip off work combos.
That's right.
But work if anything
work
that
cover.
Can go
work
wrong
care. What
can
called?
Possibly go wrong, it'll be at our club.
Yeah, no.
I know that's a defeatist attitude, and I probably shouldn't be saying it, but... At the moment, I feel like the world's just caving in on top of us.
Oh, come on. Cheer up. Jeez. Oh. We haven't even played a game yet, for God's sakes. Any other footy stuff? There's two things that we should talk about. We touched on the membership's remarkable. And I know membership numbers are, you know, they're pretty flimsy these days right across the board with the...
65.
Yeah, no, it's a good result. This is what the CEO can do. He's very good at this.
Yep. Well, they're doing some really good things off field. I mean, I don't think we've ever been in a better position, to be honest with you. Like, the debt's reducing. The board's held their numbers.
Against some of the opposition that was dished up the other night was left a bit to be desired.
Crikey, mate.
Hopefully we've got a bit better depth coming through.
I didn't read a lot about that. Was there anything worth talking about?
You were there, weren't you, Bagsy? Well, you didn't go this year.
No, it wasn't the AGM. No, I didn't go to that.
It wasn't the crew you had spoken about previously, was it?
I think one of them might have been.
So the board's reasonably...
So they're status quo. No change in the order. But seriously, why would you change something that at the moment is actually working off field?
Off
field... Financially, everything seems to be going okay. Sponsorship really going well.
The whole redevelopment of Princess Parks, you know, so there's all... Look, there's a lot of stuff going on that's pretty positive.
Definitely. I think local government and federal government and the AFL are tipping in $60 million or something to redevelop the ground.
Plenty.
Or something.
Plenty.
Yeah.
Yep.
I could do with a little bit of that.
Not the way you've been punting lately.
No, the last couple of weeks has been shit house, mate.
Oh, yeah, we haven't heard from you.
I've hit a brick wall the last couple of weeks.
We can read that into the absence on the old WhatsApp post.
Correct. Correct.
Bagsy, bang, bang. Another early quarter in Sydney. Yeah, there you go. Yeah,
like I said, I've given you plenty back.
Donuts
plenty back since.
Right, okay. Yep.
No, that's about...
Silvani, the handling of Stephen. What do we think of that?
Well... I can tell you what I know going back 3 or 4 months before it all started.
Mm. And a mozzie.
I asked someone very high up at the club, I don't think you can get any higher.
Good evening to you, Mark, if you're listening.
I actually asked him, I said, what do you think might happen with Sauce? And he said, look, oh no, oh, Paul, I can tell you categorically. Steve Silvani. It will be his decision. If he wants to stay or go, it'll be entirely his decision. And I've spoken to him about this. When I read that statement from the club,
they didn't. It wasn't great.
That is not.
No. Well, I think they
that,
they,
that statement yep. did not tell me that Soss had the final say one way or the other. It basically told me that the excuse given was about his sons and conflict of interest. Now, I've spoken to both of you about this. As soon as Jack walked in that club, there was conflict of interest. Of course. But he's now in year five.
Mm.
So how do you last year two, three, four?
Yep.
If it's conflict of interest that gets you out of the side.
Well,
I think we know there's more to the story than meets the eye. I think it was a bit of a power struggle between the CEO and himself, and the one with the biggest balls wins. And I think the CEO won with the biggest balls. I think he won out here. And at the end of the day, you know, I think Stephen walked into that club, and rightly or wrongly, they gave him carte blanche to go through every single area and have a say in every single area.
Yep.
Because they were a rabble. That club was a rabble. And he'd probably had a little bit of influence in a few different areas, and they didn't know how to handle things, and he was probably doing too much at the time, way too much at the time. Now, when you bring in Lloyd, Little, Robbie Walls as a sort of an overseer, and they sort of see what goes on, perhaps they might say, you know, mate, you know.
We need a correction.
Yeah,
exactly. Exactly. Thanks. Yep. Thank you. Soss being perhaps who he is, doesn't like being told, perhaps. And then you've got some stories coming out about, you know, the CEO taking the Richmond bloke around the field and all this sort of stuff. Oh, geez, if that was the catalyst of him going, geez, I'd be surprised. But look, I don't know the full story, the true story. I'm just telling you snippets of what I hear, but it certainly can't be just... It's a factor.
Mm.
It's a factor. I mean, if he's walking out of conversations that include his sons, and he's saying, oh, no, hang on, if you're going to talk about my sons, I'm walking out. Well, you can't have that.
No, you can't. And I think that the new CEO came in with a different lens on that than previous, you know, incumbents. And two things. To Kane Little's credit, he was prepared to take Stephen on. Not an easy thing to do. You're talking about a strong, powerful legend of the club. The CEO, he's got a moment early in his tenure. I can either just meekly sort of sidestep this one and people will probably make their mind up about me straight away, or I can stand up and do what I think is the right thing to do. Yeah. And he did. And the second thing, and I'm not being a suckhole about this, and I don't know the absolute intricacies, but for Mark Lejeune to listen to the arguments that were put and say, Kane, if you think this is the right thing for the club, then irrespective of the personal friendship that Lejeune has with Silvani, the families are very close, I'm going to back you in here. And he did. And I think that would have been a very difficult thing for Mark Lejeune to do. And time will heal whatever wounds might have been caused between the two families there. But I think it was strong leadership by the CEO. I think it was the right decision, I think, in the politics of a football club by the president. And I think the fact that Steve turned up the other night, fresh after all of this has taken place, sat in the Gardener stand at a club that he should always be welcome through the front doors of. I think it said to me that he doesn't have ultimate hard feelings here.
Club's always bigger than the individual. That's the bottom line.
I think in a perfect world, Soss would have loved to. Like he always said to me, 5 to 7 years, 5 to 7 years. That's what it's going to be. We're now fifth. Now, he didn't last. I think he would have loved to have stayed.
He would have liked to have brought in, get a Papley in. He would have liked to have got a couple of those big deals done.
And stayed the course of seven years or so. Yeah. Look, Bolton lasted 3.5. Stevens lasted 4. You know, you've got to always make changes. If it's for the better, That's fantastic. Remains to be seen if Nick Austin takes over and makes some really good moves at the end of the year.
Stuka stayed.
Stuka did stay, yeah, he did. Yeah, contrary to reports we heard a while ago. But, yeah, he stayed. So,
you know, it's...
Yeah, no, no.
The recruiting team stayed,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. No, no. It's all good, and it... And you're right about what the president... it would have been very...
Would have been hard.
Well, he told me it was hard.
Would have been hard.
He told me exactly. It was very difficult.
Would have been, you know, if I had to flick you at some stage, you know, like some bloke says I could be better than Bagsy on the podcast, I'll say, I agree with you.
If there's a person better than me out there...
I'll have to give Bagsy the bums rush.
I hope Andy pays you a lot more than what he pays me.
How many toilet rolls are you going to take from my joint tonight, by the way? Anything else?
I've got a funny story if you guys are prepared to hear it.
What's it about?
It's not football related. It's a bit of an anecdote from earlier in the year. But do you want me to say it or wait till next time, or you had enough?
Oh, no, it's only if it's good. It better be a good story.
It is. I think it is. So, I'm a big fan of Gary Lineker. He hosts the BBC Match of the Day, the soccer in England. I watch it every week. I get a copy of it and watch it to keep up with the soccer. And he's famous for giving a pun at the end of the show. He sort of signs off with... He tries to tie up the events of the round with a bit of a joke at the end. So, this particular week, it was early in the season, maybe round three-ish sort of thing, and Norwich, the newly promoted team, the Minnows of the EPL, they had landed Manchester City, one of the greatest upsets you'll ever see. Man City is this juggernaut team, for those out there who don't know their EPL. They have all the most expensive players in their team, and they basically do whatever they want against the opposition. But Norwich beat them. It was huge. So the manager of Norwich is a German man by the name of Daniel Farke, F-A-R-K-E. And so it was this... Obviously, it was the highlighted game of the match of the day, and it was all a big drama. And so it comes to the end of the show, and the camera barrels into Gary Lineker for his quip of the round, and he said, "So, how do you beat Man City? Fark knows." And they just cut to the end of the show. And it was,
I thought his first name might have been Little.
It was said with such beautiful innocence that it was magnificent. I just broke up. I thought it was magnificent.
Now, back to the footy. your mate, Johnny Frazina, just wanted us to briefly touch...
Your legion of Twitter fans.
To be honest with you, Andy, I've looked at all the questions and we've...
Touched on most of them, right?
Basically.
Righto.
But the Northern Blues situation, are we comfortable still it's the Northern Blues? Johnny reckons we need to discuss, should it be Carlton?
Well, in a perfect
should
world...
Should we get rid of this Northern Blues?
Oh, well, so. It's clearly... what would be best for Carlton Football Club to align ourselves with a reserves team similar to Richmond,
Collingwood, Essendon,
Hawthorn.
Allows them to train with more continuity and regularity, and obviously they
can... I believe it's a cost factor at the moment.
No doubt.
But can you see it happening?
The sensitivity is that if we went down that track...
I haven't spoken to anyone about it recently.
More than likely, Preston would not exist. They wouldn't be able to sustain themselves. So that's the problem with the decision, isn't it? A famous history-rich club would possibly go down...
Well, they said the same thing about Fitzroy. And yet Fitzroy now is an incredibly strong and thriving community football club. So, you know, if you've got good people around and you can find you, but I'm sure Preston...
Williamstown are on their own.
Yep.
Frankston are on their own.
Yep.
Port Melbourne are on their own.
Yeah, so, you know, I'm not saying...
But I take your point. I take your point. That was something...
I would personally love that to happen.
Yeah, so would I, to be honest.
I think that's what John's asking.
Yeah, I think it's pretty self-evident that in a perfect world, you'd like complete control over both sides, you know, and not have to... tick a box you'd like to be able to... I don't really know from a functioning perspective what difference it really makes these days? Like, what is the difference?
There are politics involved.
Yeah, there are.
With the
there
two
are.
Sets
yeah.
of players, isn't
yeah,
there?
It's yeah,
different.
A
bit, yeah, there is. Yeah. But so I don't know. As I said, I haven't spoken to anyone about this for a while, so I don't know. You know, I'm sorry, Johnny.
We
but
certainly
I can't.
Don't have any intel. That's for sure.
No.
But also, so Jackie asked about: do we have any idea about what a possible best 22 would look like at Carlton? And
no.
And
what I'll tell you what we run out with on
difficult.
What we run out with on Thursday night won't be our potential best 22.
No.
And what we think the best 22 is now won't be the best 22 in 10 weeks.
Yeah, fair
so
enough.
So it's you can
very
do
difficult.
It's a marathon. It is a marathon.
Of course it is. And hopefully we've got six blokes who are in our best 22 that none of us would have in our best 22 right now. And they've forced their way in on merit, not because we've got eight blokes unavailable or six blokes are going no good.
I'm expecting two or three to jump out of the pack this year.
We need it. We need it to
and
happen.
Need that. Need
I will
that,
be
disappointed. Mate, I'll tell you, that's a non-negotiable.
I'll be disappointed if it doesn't happen.
Yeah, that's a non-negotiable. That. If you're trying to improve as a team, trying to catch some of those sides around us and above us, mate, that if that doesn't happen, we will be bottom three again.
Mm. Yeah, we need a few things to go right.
Should you?
We need a few things to go right.
There's
so.
Absolutely no doubt about that. Yep. And look, the first week, I've talked about the first 6 weeks at nauseam. The first 6 weeks for our footy club, on and off the field, is absolutely, oh, mate, I can't tell you how important it is for our footy club to get off to a reasonable start. And by golly, there's no easy games in that first six.
No, it's
nothing's easy for
no
us.
There's no easy games for us.
No, but I, Andy, you know I read shit, right? People say, oh we'll beat Essendon. Oh, we'll handle the Bulldogs.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
We'll touch up Sydney. We've got Hawthorn covered.
Hmm.
Hey, people, listen to me very, very carefully here. How many times in the last 7 years have we knocked off all those sides you just said we're going to handle very easily? I venture to say, fuck all.
Yeah.
Evidence,
so when you shoot
based.
Your mouth, have the bullets to shoot with.
Mm.
So until you do it, just don't assume anything.
Mm.
We could. And by golly, if this happens, I think that Gex, you didn't want to bring it up, but if we're 0-6, you reckon the coronavirus is bad? 0-6,
there'll
right?
be more than one reason to stay away from the ground.
0-6 would be the absolute worst case scenario. Look, I think
there's not many worse.
0-6 would be there's diabolical not, yeah, for that, our club. For our
0-6 is the worst case scenario.
That's right.
There are no worse case scenarios.
You're right. But look, I think if we're 2-4, folks, that's probably as low as I want to see after six rounds. 2-4.
Well, we've got Thursday night to get through. And we'll.
Can we beat them, Andy?
Well, we're Carlton supporters, so we turn up hopeful. But I reckon 100% of people other than Carlton supporters will be saying we got no hope.
Geeks.
No yeah. one's tipping Carlton to beat Richmond.
Evidence based.
No one's.
I
tipping.
Don't need to answer your question.
No one's tipping Carlton to beat Richmond, mate.
No. Unfortunately, you know, another summer goes by, and you know we're going to start $6 outside.
Yeah.
They'll be a dollar. Yeah. They'll be $1.20
yep.
or something like that.
Yep.
So,
yep.
unfortunately, that's the writing on the wall. Yep. What we hope for is what we've always kept saying: come three quarter time, we want to be in the game with 7 or 8 minutes to go. We want to be in there fighting. You know, you never know if the ball bounces our way. You know, you never know. You might get a couple in front. What? Eddie puts one over the top, and the Blues got a 15-11-101.
One
Richmond 11-10-6-66, and we got them covered, boys.
One thing I would like to see is that Tom Lynch doesn't get a hold of us. If he kicks two or three, I would be happy.
But you know what, Gex? That's a good point you make about. But the talls in recent times don't seem to be our Achilles heel.
He laughs.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's arrogant when he plays
yeah,
us.
Yeah, no, look. But I think we've got Jones and Wiedering will.
Yeah, no,
you know,
yeah,
they'll chop
right,
and change
right.
between Riewoldt and the. It's the smalls.
Yeah, of course it is. It always is.
It's the small, not midfield smalls.
No, it's
Dustin Martin. Mate, who's going to play on him? If Plowman doesn't play, who sits on him when he goes up the forward line just quietly?
Well,
who's going to put the hand up there?
Wait,
Newman?
Wait until the team gets picked.
Well, who would it be, Andy? If Plowman doesn't play with the ankle.
Paulson.
Might be him. Might have to be... You couldn't put Doherty on him first up, could you?
Newman?
Maybe, but Newman's not a lockdown defender.
Not fast
you've
enough.
Got a,
well, what do you do?
Well, mate, there's no... There's very
what do you do?
Well, there's very good. There's very few good matchups for Dustin Martin. There's very few matchups.
Just got to deny him the ball, mate. That's all you can do. It's the best you can do.
Well, I'll wait to see the 22 that's picked.
Kid Williamson.
I'll wait and see. Well, if he's in the team, if he's in the team, why not? You've got to put someone on
him. Kid Williamson just to line up in the forward line, just go strut and just smack him right in the teeth. Bang.
Not really, because then he'd get 4 weeks and that'd be a big bit of a setback.
He might need a rest.
Yep. We got a bit to look forward to. I wish they were a bit cheerier than they are, but that's life. Good to see you.
Yeah, you too.
Good to see you.
Ah, yes.
Hopefully we've covered a lot there.
There's
folks.
A bit. We've been going for an hour and 20 minutes, so there's a bit. Oh, well, there's a bit of movement.
But we haven't done it for 3 months.
No, it's a tough week this one.
What have you been doing for 3 months?
People don't want to know that. That's it. Episode 1 for 2020 of the Carlton Show. Lovely to be back. All the very best next week, folks. We'll speak to you then. Bye for now.
And they will know that they've been playing against the famous old dark blues.
At codesports.com.au, we know sport's greatest stories lie way beyond the scoreboard. Get an exclusive view into the who, how, why, and everything in between explained by the experts. Code, the thought behind sport.